It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We got a lot going on here in the next few weeks. You know, next Sunday is a very special Sunday. I encourage you to show up. We're going to have a bit of a kids program and then some special things going on after service. And hopefully the weather calms down a bit. So, yeah, like I think it's going to be a bit messy this next week, but, you know, I believe the house of the Lord is going to be full, and I am ready to just get back to some normalcy for Pete's sake. And Pete needs a lot of help. I know a Pete, so that makes it even funnier. We're going through this Christmas series, and I love Christmas, and I hate Christmas. Do you guys understand that sentiment a bit? I love it, and I hate it. You know, it just seems like we're on repeat here, and I don't ever want it to be that way when it comes to the birth of our Savior. And we entitled this series, The Thrill of Hope, and last week we addressed that there is a true, genuine need for hope in people's lives, amen? And we looked back at the time, the amount of time that humanity waited for a Savior between there was the original sin in the garden and Jesus' birth was 4,000 years. 4,000 years in that time. Between Moses' death and the birth of Jesus was 1,400 years. The period between the last book of the Old Testament and Jesus' birth was 400 years. And in that 400-year period, God didn't speak through the prophets. And so imagine mankind waiting for this promised hope. Now, today, you and I, we have this blessing of knowing the promise about the coming Messiah and how that was fulfilled, seeing it fulfilled. Yet, I think that you and I, at the same time, we can relate a little bit to knowing about having this hopeful expectation and waiting because there are more prophecies concerning his second coming. And so even though we don't know what it's like waiting for a promised Messiah, we can relate to waiting. I really think we can. In fact, many of you sit here today with a hopeful expectation of what God is going to do specifically in your life. And maybe you have been waiting for an answer. Who can say amen to that? So, for instance, promises God he's made, and you have this hopeful expectation, right? You're not impatient at all. God, I'm waiting on you to answer. I'll just sit here patiently. Now, let's be real for a second. Waiting doesn't always mean that you are good with waiting patiently. You might get a little agitated. Or maybe, just maybe, you trust God can do it, but you wonder when and if he will. He can do it. I just don't know if he's going to do it for me. Have you ever had those thoughts before? And the thing that I hold on to, that no matter how difficult life gets, the promises of God are faithful, true, and they are worth waiting for. I want to say that again because you're not as fired up as the Corey family. No matter how difficult life gets, the promises of God are faithful, true, and worth waiting for. Amen. They are. So today what we're going to do, I encourage you to get your Bibles out, and we're going to turn to Psalm 42, 1 through 11. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in about every other chair in front of you. If you're in the first row, man, you're going to have to just turn around and beg that person behind you to give you a Bible. But we're in Psalm 42 this morning, and this is the big idea. As we look back at this psalm from one of the sons of Korah, they are in exile, and Jerusalem's been destroyed. The temple was completely destroyed, and they are waiting and wondering when God's going to rescue them out of their situation. And what we see is the God who keeps his promises is coming. That's what he holds on to. He is faithful and he is worth the wait. So, If we're turning our Bibles, Psalm 42, who loves the Word of God? Amen, amen. Amen. Psalm 42, we're going to read verses 1 through 11 this morning. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is the God of you, this God of yours?" My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours His unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing His songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, "Where is this God of yours?" Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Let's pray. Father, I think each and every one of us can find a point in our lives where we relate to what this man is saying. And God, I pray that we will see our lives through your lens and understand what you are doing and what we're waiting for. God, give us context. Give us understanding and wisdom to not rush what you are doing. I thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You know what I love about this scripture? He is in true, honest despair. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like, Lord, I'm being completely open and honest with you because my hope feels so far away? Here's the thing. I think many Christians, the church that maybe we were raised in, if you were raised in church, is to not have this kind of honesty in your prayers, but we need to be stoic. We need to pretend like everything is good. We can't reveal that there's cracks in the foundation at all. We have to fake it till you make it. Who's heard that saying before? And I can't help but when we are in these situations, we tend to hold on to better days. Looking back at verses 5 and 11, it's the same refrain over again. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior, my God. He said that exact same phrase in verse 11. And what is happening in their lives, they're wrestling to win. Jerusalem was theirs. Life was good. Life was life. And it's not that way anymore. Now, I am sure no one in this room gets stuck in nostalgia remembering the good old days. You're always looking forward. I was in Waterloo as a pastor for 8 years, and my parents share a story that some of you might know, Nick and Leona Vendetti, and they ran into them at Randy Lennon, I believe it was Brent's graduation around that time. And my parents ran into them, and they said, "Aaron's taking a new church." "Oh, really? Where is he taking a church at?" And they said, "Waterloo." And Leona's response was, "Oh, my." And I was a pastor in Waterloo for 8 years, and our biggest hurdle, you know, I can point to lots of heartache, but this was truly, and Heidi and Kelly can acknowledge this, the biggest hurdle in the church was people stuck in the past, not embracing the future. That was the biggest hurdle. They had gone through difficult times about 8 months before I came, and it seemed impossible to get past the hurdle of when the church used to be thriving versus the state that it's in now. And I recognize that, and I understand, and the reality is we have a lot of these hurdles in our own lives, and what we do is we create these barriers to hope because we are stuck in the past. Our goal should be to appreciate the past, but not be stuck there. We want to move forward. And so I encourage you, and this is so hard, it's easy to say, develop a mindset that my life works in seasons. Everything in my life is for a season. There's good seasons. There's bad seasons. There's long seasons. And there's short seasons. And you might be hoping, well, as long as the good seasons are long seasons, Pastor, I'm good. That sounds perfect. Yeah, like I'm on board with that plan too. But that is not reality. And I'm telling you, the season that you are in right now will end. I promise that. Some of you are in a good season right now. Some of you are in a bad season right now. And I speak to both of you, that season will end. And a new season will come. But, God can use us in every season. He can use us in every season. I don't want to attribute God to only being for me on the good days. I've embraced these words of Christ in Luke 9, 23 and 24. It says, "Then he said to the crowd, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me.'" He goes on to say, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. So the cross, this ultimate symbol of suffering, he is presenting to us, hey, you want to follow me? It's a hard road. So if I am going to align myself with the things of God, there are going to be struggles. There are going to be challenges. Do you embrace that? I reject the prosperity gospel that my life is only evident of God if things are good. I reject that premise. And so you waiting on God doesn't mean pretending life is easy. When we read through the Psalms, if you look at the words of David, if you look at the words of the sons of Korah, you will see them pouring themselves out to God through struggle. I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, which is always an adventure. And he said that one of the city plow trucks came by and they pushed the pile of snow that he had to the side of his driveway further back into the ditch. And he called the city and he wanted to thank whatever driver it was that did that. And they said, well, we typically only get calls when someone's upset. See, here's the problem. There's the other side of the coin that God typically only gets prayers when someone's upset. God God sometimes has you in your bad days. He wants you in your good days too. He wants you all the time. But as I look at the Psalms, and I see a kind of honesty that I can really appreciate, where again, it's not fake it till you make it. It's God, I'm giving you what's real right now. And it's being willing to say, God, I'm not doing well. I'm not okay. I want to encourage you, God is big enough to handle any problem you have. He is also big enough to take you on with where you're at emotionally. In fact, I argue God prefers that side of you a little bit more. Listen to Psalm 62:8. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. In Isaiah 40:29, it says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Who claims that in Jesus' name? He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. He needs those people to acknowledge that, God, where I'm at in my life, I need you. I am completely hopeless. I am completely weak, and I need you to invade my life. I am being real with you, God. And so it's choosing to seek God in honesty when you are struggling, and you're going to find it empowering when you do approach God in that way. It's this opportunity to say, God, I'm going to invite you into my mess. And I'm going to acknowledge, I need your help. Church, do you know that's the relationship God's looking for? That's the one he wants out of you. A creation that is longing for its creator. That's what God wants. And then I think we need to work in this active hope while we're waiting. And I noticed that with the son of Korah that wrote this, he was almost preaching to himself. He's preaching this promise to his own soul. And it starts by remembering God and all that he's done. And here's the thing. If you're going through something, I'm like, remember God? Well, Pastor, of course I remember God. But seriously, that when we're going through something difficult, God usually seems like the last option on our list, like the last person we're calling out to. We're going through all the other resources that are available to us. Maybe we're complaining to other people, but we haven't taken our complaint to God. And so it's important that no matter what you're going through, you need to remember him first. And you might just want to learn to become a preacher, at least when it's to yourself. Listen to verses 5 through 11 again as he works through this. Because he's speaking to himself and he's speaking to God. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Listen to what he says in verse 7 and 8 as we're reviewing this again. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. He's feeling terrible, but he is preaching to himself, reminding himself who God is. Do you ever have to motivate yourself to do something? My aim is to work out 5 days a week. And there are days where I just don't want to go. There's weeks that it just can't happen because of schedule conflicts and whatnot. But there's days where I don't have to go and I drag myself into the gym. And those days, I usually walk away feeling like I accomplished more than the days I didn't, that I did want to go. But here's the thing, I had to motivate myself to go. Sometimes I go all the way to the gym and I'm sitting in the car in the lot thinking, do you really want to get out of this car right now? Especially on days like today. But sometimes you and I, we're not feeling it. So we need to preach to ourselves exactly who God is. God never changes. Now, our mood can change in 5 minutes if something doesn't go our way. God never changes. Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So our hope should not be in changed circumstances, but an unchanging God. I want you to really reflect on that for a minute. Where does your hope lie? God, that my situation changes? What if it doesn't? So it's not a matter of, God, I'm hoping that you change everything for me. It's, God, I look to you because you are unchanging. And I know that I can find something that is true. I can find something that is real. And I choose to cling to you because my life is falling apart. And what I've learned about our faith is that we can pray absolutely for something in our life to change. But there is a solid chance that down the road, you'll have to pray that prayer again. I don't want my faith to be shaken by a circumstance. I want to use each and every opportunity to get closer to the Lord. Are you hearing me, church? And so what happens is our hope needs to become a little bit more deliberate. I think you might want to write this next phrase down. Hope is not a feeling. Hope is not a feeling. It's not. It is a deliberate act of directing your soul, toward the faithful character and promises of God. It's choosing to direct everything in your life towards God. So you need to remind yourself of all of his promises. The ones that have been fulfilled. The promises that have yet to be fulfilled. And we just need to focus on his character. And what we need to do is we need to be deliberate and intentional, because we can take our eyes off of him so easy. Church, I constantly quote Colossians 3:1. And if you don't know it by now and you've been in this church for more than a year, like, I don't even know what to do at this point. Colossians 3:1, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Because here is the problem. The world muddies our perspective of God. So if you want to live in constant hope, you have to focus on him. This is why we read Psalms where they proclaim, I will trust in the Lord. What they're doing is they're declaring it over themselves time and time and time again. Because you and I are not prone to trust him. Many of us are not prone to trust anybody. And so for you and I, it becomes this spiritual decision that I am going to trust God with my circumstances. So you and I might need to, in the morning, motivate ourselves a bit. On a day we're not looking forward to, or a day we're dreading, or where we think there might be problems, we might have to challenge ourselves to read Scripture, to preach the Word to ourselves, to overcome discouragement, and remember His promises. I've shared it before, but when Wendy and I were younger in our marriage, she would print Scripture out and she would tape it to the mirror in our bathroom. And so every morning when you're getting ready, you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing those scriptures that are on the outside edges of the mirror. And every time she looked in the mirror, it was a strong reminder of who God has called her to be. She was deliberate, intentional, especially through the struggle. So if you find yourself in this waiting period, I think the best thing you can do to save yourself from agony, because we all hate to wait, is that we just have this longing expectation for what Christ is going to do. To exclaim when we look at our situation, my Savior and my God. Do you really thirst for Jesus? Do you know what it means to long for him in such a way that you need him? Listen to what the psalmist says in verse 2. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? And then again, verse 11, I love to repeat myself sometimes. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Church, desire him. Praise him like someone who is thirsty and longing for that drink of water. Do you know what it is like to be truly thirsty? I think there's at times we do where we're desperately longing for a drink. Now, maybe it's a deficiency of mine, but every time I eat ice cream, I crave water when I'm done. It probably means there's something weird going on inside. I don't know. But I crave water where I can't get to it fast enough. And then I chug a whole glass immediately. And I want you to think of times that you have been really thirsty. When you're going through times of struggle, do you long for Jesus in the same way? Or are you going to other sources to try and satisfy yourself? Imagine being on the verge of dehydration and thinking, you know what would be good right now? Soda. No, it'd be a terrible thing. It'd be terrible. And it's the same way, yet when we have these problems where we should be thirsting out for God, but we're taking these sources that they only temporarily satisfy. In fact, it might make you feel good for about 30 seconds, and then you're going to feel awful. Only Jesus Christ can fulfill that longing desire. It's only him. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman at a well, and it was very taboo for a Jew to do. He not only is he talking to her, but he asks her for a drink also. Really taboo. And then he says two strong statements to her in verse 10 and then verses 13 through 14. Listen to what Jesus says. If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Verses 13 and 14, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Church, you see, any other source that you seek, it's temporary, it's unfulfilling, but when we learn to constantly tap into what Jesus provides, we are fulfilled. Then what begins to happen to your soul is the longing changes. It changes to things of him. And so we switch from longing for things of the earth to longing for eternity. And church, I want you to know that Jesus Christ can satisfy every longing expectation that you have. He can satisfy it. Now, here's what I didn't say. I did not say he supplies every longing expectation. To fulfill it. Sometimes our expectations aren't godly. He shifts what to expect. It's not to expect that God fulfills every promise and every perfect dream we think we have for this earth. It is God changing that longing expectation we have are what awaits us in eternity. And so what he begins to do, he removes every thought, doubt, or worldly perspective in order that we get closer to him and understand his will and purpose. Psalm 107:9, it says, "For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." John 6:35, Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again." I want to reiterate, your problem is not too big for him. I know that. I trust that. But are you willing to just let your heart cry out to him in the situation that you are in? Because I believe once you do, he dramatically changes your outlook. He changes your outlook. He might not change the circumstance. He changes your outlook. Wendy and I were at a spiritual low at the first church we pastored. Our souls were crushed while we are thinking our perfect plan is gone. We had this perfect idea of what life would be like. And there was this difference between our perfect plan and God's perfect plan for our lives. Huge difference. And we were looking at our son's disabilities at a young age as this barrier for every dream that we had. And there came a point, and I can't pinpoint a day, I can pinpoint a season, where we had to take every thought captive, and we had to look at God and our sons as his perfect plan, who he has made us to be. And since that time, what I have discovered is that his ways are so much better than my ways. And all I had to do was get out of my own way. Can you do that? That's what I encourage you to do, to truly say, God, I look at that you have just given me breath as a gift of life. God, I see that everything you have given me, that you have asked me to steward for your purposes and eternity, God, and I'm just going to trust you with everything that I have. And not get captivated by what you don't have or what you thought you might have one day or what someone else has, but say, God, I'm going to seek your purposes in what I have and who I am right now. And I'm going to be completely okay with it. Because next thing you know, what's going to happen is we're going to start waiting for different things from God. See, many of us this morning when I opened up and I said, if you're in the wait, raise your hand. And we all probably thought of something that had nothing to do with the return of Jesus Christ. It's who we are as humans. But I want this longing expectation to be, Lord, I'm ready for you to call me home. My Savior and my God. The author and finisher of my faith. that every longing and every desire that I have is for eternity. Not things that are wasting away. Not things that are changing. But the thing that never changes. A God who sent his Son to suffer and die for us. That we can claim him as our own. And believe in this resurrected Savior who sits at the right hand of God and will one day return for his people. That's what I need to cling to. Church, that's what you need to cling to. So what I want us to do right now is I want us to bow our heads. And I acknowledge that there are some in the room that what you're waiting on obviously has a lot of right to take space in your frontal cortex because it's big. And my question for you is, have you brought it to God? Have you brought it to God in a holy way? Or are you just quietly waiting, hoping for change? See, I think God's going to do something when you truly open up, when you truly pour your heart out. Go back to those verses I read earlier. Excuse me. That he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Other verses, like Psalm 62:8, oh my people, trust in him at all times. Pour your heart out to him, for God is our refuge. Isaiah 40:29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Do you claim that in Jesus' name? You are waiting right now. We're going to do a non-typical altar call. If you are waiting right now, and you know you need to pour your heart out to God, I ask you to stand up where you're at and do so in faith and courage, knowing God's with you. Is there anybody? Speak to you, those who are standing. The book of Job is a very aggravating book. It's 42 chapters of a man really struggling that was a godly man. And there were times, he had three friends. There were times they helped him keep his focus on God, and there were times they didn't. But what I've learned is, as long as we have good encouragement around us from our brothers and sisters in Christ, they can help us keep our focus on Him. And you have people in your life that can keep your eyes fixed on the realities of heaven, where you can take them off of your situation from time to time and just say, God, I have to surrender this over to you. And so there are people that love you, that can stand beside you and say, remember God. And it's not easy. They can't fill your shoes in what you're going through. But they can encourage you. And so what we're going to do as a church, we have some faith-filled believers in this room that believe God can change your situation. But more importantly, that he is going to fulfill every longing desire you have, or he's going to change every longing desire for eternity's sake. And so what I encourage you to do, some faith-filled believers, I want you to look around. I want you to surround these people in prayer. We're going to encourage today. We're going to be an encouragement. And so if you would get up and be an encouragement today for those who are standing. We've got Dawn right here. We've got Kyle. We've got Peggy right back here too. And then if someone... A couple people come up here for Jeremy right here. Verl Jeremy right there. God, we don't know the struggle. But God, we know that no matter what circumstances we are going through, that we can put our hope and trust in you. And that God, you do pour out your Spirit on your people that call out to you. And God, I pray right now for an encouragement and a strength for those who had the courage to just stand and acknowledge that, God, I hate the wait. I hate the waiting. And that, God, they can be so open with you that they can completely pour themselves out. That, Lord, everything that is not of you, that is as we pour ourselves out to you, you can replenish, you can refill with every good thing that flows from your throne. And God, we can change our perspective on not only how you work in our lives, but God, what truly awaits for us. And Lord, I pray for thirst to be quenched right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for your people to be strengthened right now. Where the weak will feel powerful because of what you have done. Where the hungry will be satisfied, God, because of what you are able to do. God, I pray for those that stood up that will have faith-filled people stand beside them in agreement and encouragement that, Lord, you are with them. You are not abandoning them. You didn't cause this, God. But Lord, you are calling us to place our perspective on eternal things. And God, may we be able to view our circumstances through your lens. Lord, I thank you for faithful men and women that will walk beside us in times of difficulty. God, we pray that we be awakened to the needs of the saints, the needs of the church, when we just need to offer and give an encouraging word, and that Lord, in our low points, God, we can be reminded who you are, what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do. We praise you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen.